swings by and saves the day. You will only know that if you listen to Comic Book Radio Theater. Don't wait. Do it right now. Gotta listen right now. Okay, hopefully I've convinced you. Alright. I will play music when I take my voice break. What do we got here? Oh, I got this little note here so I can remember and what songs I'm playing, but I keep scrunching it up because of habits. Not because I'm nervous, because I'm on radio. No, nothing like that. When I take my voice break for this comic book read, Amazing Spider-Man number 153, February of 1976. New music at that point was Peter Frampton. He showed you the way, or showed me the way. He showed himself the way. Is that better? How to say it? Anyway, Peter Frampton, live in concert. He had a huge, like, live concert album that was put out at the time, and people really, really enjoyed it. And he could make his guitar talk, too. We'll also listen to T-Rex. And also, we're getting a bunch of music here. Bebop Deluxe. They had a really interesting sound for the time. You really can't put a little bit of a finger on what they were doing and stuff like that. Bebop Deluxe. And then finally, I cannot remember where they're from. Whether are they from Switzerland or are they from the Netherlands? Maybe I'm getting them mixed up with Crocus. But I speak of Golden Earring. Golden Earring. They had their first album out. We'll listen to the song To the Hilt. We're going to rock it out. CKUW 95.9 FM. And let me stopping myself. Okay, I will read you Amazing Spider-Man number 153, February of 1976. Let me get on with it. I'll find some music and I'll get reading to you. This is the 95.9 FM. We do this out of the University of Winnipeg.
I'm Nyla. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
While attending a demonstration in radiology,
high school student Peter Parker was bitten by a spider which had accidentally been exposed to radioactive rays. And through a miracle of science, Peter Parker soon found out that he had gained the spider's powers and had, in fact, become a human spider. Len Wein presents The Amazing Spider-Man in The Longest 100 Yards. Certain people in this life who just seem naturally attracted to trouble. Take Peter Parker for our example. A short while ago, Peter Parker packed away his school supplies, slipped into his Spider-Man costume, and swung out his bedroom window on his trusty web line. Interested in only grabbing a nice quiet breath of fresh air. An innocent enough evening, right? Oh, come on, faithful listeners. You don't believe that any more than I do. Spider-Man is hanging upside down from his web line. The web line is attached to the steeple of a church. He is looking at a taxi car, a taxi cab, driving down the street. He thinks to himself, "Hey, what do you know? There is somebody out here besides me tonight. I wonder if I should swing on down past that cabbie and give him a big thrill." Maybe not. Yeah, I better not. With the rash of taxi robberies lately, the cabbie's liable to clobber me if...
Hey!
My spider senses, it's tingling. It suddenly started to tingle. And there's the reason why. The taxi's roof light blinking on and off. Three for short, three long, three short. I remember my Cub Scout training. That's Morse code for SOS, the international signal for distress. That taxi driver, he's in trouble. Spider-Man spins a web and swings down to the street. And it looks like it's up to everybody's favorite web slinger to get him out of trouble. Oh boy, he really is in hot water. I can see two guys in the cab's back seat, and one of them has a gun to the driver's head. I've got to take out these two carjackers before they can take out the driver, which means I can't let this taxi get past me. Spider-Man lands on the ground on the street right in front of the taxi cab. So far, so good. The taxi swerved to avoid me, just as I figured it would. Now, an artful little cartwheel to make him swerve the other way. Put a little bit of Spidey English to the taxi to make a well-aimed skid. and bingo! The little yellow cab drops right in the side pocket. Jackie Gleason, eat your heart out!
The taxi cab slams right into a fire hydrant.
Okay, fellas, last stop, everybody out. The joyride's over. Your next free ride will be in a police car.
That's what you think, you webhead. They catch us after all the jobs we've pulled. They'll throw away the key. Now back off or we'll total you.
The criminal shoots a bullet at Spider-Man, missing him.
Well, if that's the way you're gonna be about it, I'm just gonna have to come in after you.
Spider-Man gets into the backseat of the cab and punches out the two criminals.
Nighty night, boys. Give my regards to the judge when you wake up.
Hey, Spider-Man, what? What about my cab? You tore the doors off and everything.
But I saved your life. What more do you want? Never mind. You want your doors back on? Okay, I'll put them back on. Just have to apply a little bit of Spidey strength here and there. And she'll look like she just left the showroom, brand new. There you go. Now, how's that for a repair job? Now, all I have to do is close your trunk, and your taxi will be as good as new.
Spider-Man slams the back trunk of the taxi cab, and the rest of the car falls apart.
Oops! Oh no!
Oh no!
What you doing to me, Spider-Man?
Spider-Man spins a web line and swings off.
Hey, where you going?
Where you going?
Who's gonna fix my blasted taxi cab?
Why don't you call your insurance agent? They could probably use a good laugh.
Let's cut 12 hours later to the campus of Empire State University. It's early noon.
Peter Parker is getting off of a city bus. He thinks to himself.
According to the morning news on CKUW, the cops charged those two crooks with enough to put them away till Honolulu freezes over. Which means I did my good public service and had a few chuckles in the process. Yep, life would be just spiffy if I could get a certain Mary Jane Watson to talk to me. Not that I really blame her, mind you. I just wish she'd give me a chance to apologize for...
Hey,
the devil, there's Mary Jane right now, buying ice cream with Flash Thompson and Harry Osborn. This time I'm gonna make her listen if I have to nail her down to the street. Hey, greetings, gang, how's it going?
Pretty good, Pete. Still hanging in there.
How you doing, old buddy?
All that all depends, you know, on Mary Jane. You guys don't mind if I talk with her for a minute?
Not at all, Pete. Go ahead.
If you want to talk to Mary Jane, Parker, why don't you ask Mary Jane?
Not that little
little Mary Jane counts for anything, of course. No, little Mary Jane is just something to be brought to parties and ignored while you go gallivanting around town snapping your precious news photos. After what you did, Peter Parker, I'd have to be out of my mind to let you talk to me. Okay, so I'm out of my mind. You may talk to me, Parker, but you better make it fast.
Don't worry, Miss Watson. I won't take any more time than I have to.
Harry,
come on. Come on, Harry. I think Peter and Mary Jane would like to be left alone.
Oh yeah. Sure. Goodbye, guys.
Bye. I'm sorry you're so annoyed with me, Mary Jane. But I promise you, you won't regret listening to me.
Oh, spare me. Spare me the small talk, Parker. Just say what you have to say and get off my back.
Aw, come on, MJ. You're not even giving me a real chance.
Really? Well, tough.
Tough? That sure doesn't sound like the Mary Jane Watson who declared all-out war when she thought she was losing me to Gwen Stacy.
So maybe since then I realize you're just not worth fighting for.
Well. Well, if that's the way you feel about it, MJ, then maybe you're right. Maybe we should just forget the whole thing. I've already taken too many lumps to keep banging my head against a brick wall. Goodbye, MJ. Maybe I'll see you in the funny papers.
Peter?
Yeah?
Peter, don't go.
Why not? I don't have any reason to really stay.
Peter, I lied.
You lied?
Uh-huh.
About what?
About you. You are worth fighting for. Want a lick of my ice cream?
Oh, Mary Jane, you drive me crazy.
Well, Tiger, now that we're on speaking terms again, what do you want to talk about?
Gee, I don't know. Do you think the rain will get the rhubarb wet?
Oh, Peter, you have the gift for gab.
Howdy, Peter! Mary Jane, would three make a crowd?
Hey, it's Ned Leeds. What brings the blushing groom to be way out here?
Unfortunately, Mary Jane, the groom-to-be is still a newspaper reporter. Hey, have you ever heard of Bradley Bolton? He was a big man on campus some years back, a football star or something. Well, now he's a big-shot computer whiz. He's visiting Empire State U for a homecoming, and J. Jonah Jameson sent me to interview him.
The problem is, I don't know a thing about computers, so...
You'd bring along that junior genius in Peter Parker to help you break the ice, right?
just in luck, Ned. It so happens I have heard of Bradley Bolton, and I'd love to meet him.
Pete! Pete! You're a lifesaver! Come on! Bolton said he'd meet us over at the stadium!
A lone man stands in the middle of a football field in an empty stadium. He thinks to himself.
Maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all. I'd completely forgotten how lonely this place could be when it's empty. It's as lovely as a graveyard. And that's what it is, all right. A graveyard of lost memories.
Dr. Bolton! Dr. Bolton! Dr. Bolton! Dr. Bolton!
I hope we haven't kept you waiting long.
Help!
I'm Ned Leeds of the Daily Bugle, sir. This is my friend Peter Parker. He's a fan of yours. It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. I really enjoyed your thesis on intermolecular computer synapses.
So, you're the only one who read that thing. Mr. Parker, I'd like to shake your hand.
You are listening to a reading of Amazing Spider-Man number 153, February, the year 1976.
I'm not afraid to die.
up to the hill. Is that what you say?
We are punting it along CKW Late Night Radio. And I'll tell you what I'll tackle some more. It's comic book radio theater! All right. Well, our comic book's going pretty good. The Spider-Man one, it's not bad, other than the kidnapping of a child. Yeah, that's kind of bad. But it's so far, it's not so bad. A bit somber. I certainly wouldn't want to be Dr. Bolton going back to his university, and it's not so great for him. Got other crap on his mind too, and very serious stuff too. Alright, we know what's going on in the story if you have been listening. Okay, I have been reading to you Amazing Spider-Man number 153, originally printed February of 1976. And when I'm going to take like voice breaks, and like a good team, I'm on a tremendous streak. I'm on a really good streak. So, I don't know. I just want to keep on going. So I'm going to tell you this in advance. When I need to take my voice breaks, we will listen to music that was brand new back in February of 1976. That's how I work things around here. Okay. Music, same time, the comic book at the same time. You get it. Don't have to explain no more. You could pick this up at the record store shop on any format that you thought of that you would have liked. Okay? How about Heart? The Wilson sisters. They were just beginning their band. They were just starting to step outside of Seattle and Washington State and all that. They were just beginning to do that. We will listen to Heart. Bad Company from England. We will listen to Bad Company. And somewhere in between there, I'll shot put it in there. We'll listen to some Jimmy Buffett. I really like the song. I really do. I think you will too. We'll also have some Lynyrd Skynyrd, Grand Funk Railroad, Bette Midler. Is she in concert there? I can't remember. And then Barry White. Yes. The wonderful voice of Barry White. Okay. All right. I must get off on my way. Yep. Keyboard setup. All right. No problems with there. It's just a press and a go and do it. And stuff like that. Alright, CKUW 95.9 FM. This segment, this whole evening, is late night comic book radio theater. It only happens here, the 95.9 FM. We are the University of Winnipeg.
Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM. A lone man stands in the middle of a football field in an empty stadium. He thinks to himself, maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all. I've forgotten how lonely this place could be when it's empty. It's as lovely as a graveyard. And that's just what it is, all right. A graveyard of lost memories.
Mr. Bolton! Mr. Bolton! Mr. Bolton! I hope we haven't kept you waiting long.
Help.
I'm Ned Leeds of the Daily Bugle, sir. This is my friend, Peter Parker. He's a fan of yours. It's a pleasure meeting you, sir. I really enjoyed your thesis on intermolecular computer synapses.
Oh, so you're the one who read that thing. Mr. Parker, I'd like to shake your hand.
And with that, the interview is off to a rollicking start.
You know, it seems rather ironic, us standing here discussing my scientific achievements. Us standing here of all places. If it wasn't for a certain Saturday afternoon football game at this stadium, I may have never gone into computers at all. I came that close to committing my whole life to an entirely different direction.
What sort of direction, Doctor?
Believe it or not, Boom Boom Bolton was the best darn quarterback this campus ever saw. Of course, this stadium wasn't so fancy, but it made no difference to me. Despite my huge talent for electronics, all I cared about was playing football. At least, until that lousy Saturday afternoon. It was the final game of the season. Empire State was playing Metro University for the league championship. And the score was tied going into the last 2 minutes of the final quarter. But I was determined to break that tie. One way or another.
We go into a memory scape of the story that Bradley Boom Boom Bolton is about to tell.
We were on our 1 yard line when our center, Grabowski, snapped the ball to me. And I took off like a shot. 100 yards away, my goal beckoned me with open arms. All I had to do was get past the Metro U defensive line, and the championship was ours. But why not? After all, it was only 100 yards. Just a lousy 100 yards. I could do that in my sleep. So I sprinted forward, cleats tearing into the turf, giving it everything I had. Like my life depended on it.
90 yards to go! The opposition rained around me like machine gun fire. I lunged aside, then charged ahead again. Only 75 yards to go. I ran, my legs pumping, heart pounding, lungs pulling ragged breath after ragged breath. I saw nothing but those goalposts rising like outstretched arms before me. I never took my eyes off that goal. On the 50-yard line, they hit me hard. My insides felt like they were on fire, but I still kept going. 30 yards to go. I had too much at stake to be taken down now. In all the world, there was only me, that ball, and the goal line just ahead. 20 yards to go. Nothing was going to stop me. I cradled that pigskin like a baby, like it was flesh of my flesh. It was that important to me. 10 yards to go. And even when the last defender tackled me, even when they finally brought me down, I would not let go of that ball. 5 yards to go. I couldn't let it go. I could not let go of it. They finally had to pry it from my fingers. This close, guys. I came this close, 1 yard away. 1 miserable foot from this goal line. And we fumbled it on the next play. We fumbled it on the next play, and Metro University took possession. Carried the ball all the way back for a touchdown. And to this day, I don't think we really tried that hard to stop them. When I failed to score, I shattered the spirit of the entire team. And that's when I gave up football, guys. That's when I gave it up. Not that computer technology doesn't have its good points, of course. I met my wife, Ellen, while working for Stark International. These days, Ellen and our daughter, Mindy, are the only rooting section I need. In their eyes, I'm still All-American champ.
Bradley Bolton takes out a wallet-sized photographs of his wife and daughter, Mindy.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful, sir. You must be very proud of.
A student from the university walks onto the football field. He has an envelope in his hand.
Excuse me, sir? Is your name Bolton?
A fellow over at the clubhouse asked me to give you this message. Dr. Bradley Bolton reads the letter that's inside the envelope.
Dr. Bolton, you look stunned. Is anything wrong?
No, Peter. No.
I just seem to have forgotten another appointment. Looks like we'll have to finish this interview some other time, Leeds. Perhaps at the homecoming dinner and dance this evening.
Sure thing, Doctor. See you there.
Yeah, see you too. See you.
Peter Parker thinks to himself as Bradley Bolton takes leave of the football field.
Funny. He seems like a completely different man since reading that letter. I wonder what it said.
We'll return to Amazing Spider-Man number 153. You are listening to Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
That my condition is improving, and if I don't die by Thursday, I'll be roaring Friday night. Went down to the snake pit, drank a little beer, listened to the jukebox, moon was coming in clear. All of a sudden I wasn't alone, picking country music with old Joe Bones. Duval Street was rocking, my eyes they started popping, because there she sat at the corner of the bar as I broke another string on my old guitar. Someone call a cab, lady, won't you pay my tab? And now my head hurts, my feet stink, and I don't love Jesus. Was that kind of morning? Really was that kind of night? Trying to tell myself that my condition is improving, and if I don't die by Thursday, I'll be roaring Friday night. Got to get a little orange juice and a Darvon for my head. I can't spend all day, baby, laying in the bed. I'm going down to Fausto's, get some chocolate milk. Can't spend my life in your seats of silk. I've got to find my way, crawl. Tell that my condition is improving, and if I don't die by Thursday, I'll be roaring Friday night. Let me tell you, be roaring Friday night. I mean, I'll be roaring Friday night.
We now return to Amazing Spider-Man number 153. February 1976. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, the University of Winnipeg.
These days, Ellen and our daughter Mindy are all the rooting section I need. In their eyes, I'm still All-American champ.
Bradley Bolton shows wallet-sized photos of his wife Ellen and his daughter Mindy.
They're beautiful, sir. You must be very proud of them.
A student from the university walks onto the football field. He has an envelope with him.
Excuse me, sir. Is your name Bolton?
A fellow over at the clubhouse asked me to give you this message.
A message for me?
Bradley Bolton reads the letter from the envelope. Dr. Bolton, you look stunned. Is anything wrong?
Huh? No, Peter. I just seem to have forgotten another appointment.
Yeah.
Looks like we'll have to finish this interview some other time, Leeds. Perhaps at the homecoming dance this evening.
Sure thing, Doctor. See you there. Yeah, see you.
Peter Parker thinks to himself, funny, he seems completely a different man since reading that letter. I wonder what it said.
For the answer to Peter's wondering, we'll have to cut to this park a short distance away.
Good afternoon, Dr. Bolton. You may call me Payne.
A gangster is sitting on a park bench. He is feeding breadcrumbs to tiny birds there.
So, you're that animal who sent me that note. This, Doctor, what language? Come sit down and help me feed my fine feathered friends, and we'll talk.